Okay, you're recording.
See what other ones. Dave, you have quite a, I don't know. Dave, do you just have the 1-23-36?
I have that one and then 81-94-95.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, we're just gonna go back up to number two, 23-29, regards to Sophia Kaluzanaki, DVM. Tracy, if you could read the summary.
Sure, so case 23-29, complainant is Laura Salazar, the respondent is Sophia Kaluzanaki, DVM. On September 28th, 2022, junior, an 18-year-old male cocker spaniel was presented to respondent for humane euthanasia. Respondent staff thought the pet had already passed based on his condition on presentation. Upon closer exam, it was noted the dog was still breathing. Complainant was asked if she wanted to be present for humane euthanasia. She did. Respondent did not complete an exam as the dog was comatose but not a heartbeat, was barely breathing or moving except for when touched. Respondent attempted an intracardiac injection, however, the dog unexpectedly reacted. Respondent prepared a heavy sedative combination of azithromycin and xylazine for the dog. After administration of the sedative, the dog passed. Death was confirmed and respondent administered fatal plus intracardiac to ensure the dog had passed. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Okay, thank you. We have no respondent and no complaint in this case, and Ms. Frost, you are the lead.
Yeah, so, we see quite a few complaints about euthanasia, and it's surprisingly something we see in veterinary medicine a lot, and something that the general public doesn't see very much at all. So it's a really, really, really hard emotional time to navigate, but, and we see complaints from people that weren't a pet owner, that were just present, which would be great if the person that wanted to make the complaint had a hard time with it and they had somebody advocating for them. But many times the person who owned the pet thought everything was great and fine. So I just, it's so shocking to me, but I have to understand that death and the process of euthanasia is not familiar to everybody, and it's shocking and sad and horrible, and especially whenever a pet is this far gone, it's not pleasant having been in space where you see that. So where I understand the complaint, the respondent, I think, did a good job, you know, articulating what happened and what, you know, they, what, I don't know, what maybe could have been different, but I don't see a violation. So I will make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second to dismiss with no violation. Is there any?
Just one other comment. I believe that the complainant was not the owner of the animal, is that correct?
That's what I was saying, yeah. I believe it was her sister or something.
Obviously, anyone can file a complaint, but nonetheless.
Well, and again, I think it was because the owner was like, I don't know, I didn't know she was going to do that. Like,
right,
a few different times. So it was like, you'd think you'd call your sister.
So let them know.
Except for the second one.
You're upsetting my family. They're really hard to find.
Okay, so we have a motion to dismiss case 23-29. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Number 4, 23-33, in regards to Sarah Perotenendo, DVM. And this is a two-pack. So, Tracy, you want to read the front load for both of them?
Sure. So, case 23-33 is Sheldon Goldstein and Michelle Scopoletti. The respondent is Sarah Carotenudo, DVM. In case 23-37, the complainants are the same, and their respondent is Olivia Russo, DVM. On June 7, 2021, Gertrude, a 9-year-old female Pomeranian, was presented to Dr. Russo for evaluation for labored breathing and possible seizure. The dog had a history of diabetes mellitus, ITP, endocrine pancreatic insufficiency, and cataracts. The dog was triaged and found stable, therefore she was placed in a kennel for monitoring while Dr. Russo attended to a critically ill patient. due COVID protocol. Dr. Russo discussed her exam findings with complainant Goldstein over the phone, who expressed concerns for seizure activity after his discussion with technical staff. Dr. Russo recommended hospitalization and diagnostics for possible seizure activity. Complainant Goldstein declined Dr. Russo's recommendations and wanted blood work, thyroid hormone normal testing, and sub-Q fluids. Dr. Russo discussed the blood results with complainant Goldstein, and a copy was provided to him. Complainant Goldstein elected to take the dog home for monitoring. The dog was discharged with a diazepam suppository. Dr. Caratinuto was not working this day and had no involvement or influence on the care and treatment of the dog. On June 9, 2021, 2 days later, the dog was presented to Paws Veterinary Center with a history of seizures and ITP. The dog presented lateral recumbent and hypoglycemic. The dog was treated with sub-Q fluids and NutriCal, and the dog's blood glucose increased. Complainants declined further treatment. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0. And that was for case 2333 and also case 2337.
Okay, thank you. We have no complainant and no respondent in either case. And Dr. Gaines, you are the lead.
So we'll start with 2333. This is the doctor that was not involved in this case at all. Wasn't there when it happened. Really was, I think, was kind of even surprised when they asked her a question of what's her involvement in this? She's like, I don't oversee this. But it was just kind of this very weird situation. So I don't see how she's involved at all, and I would support in 2333 that there's no violations of our Practice Act or rules.
Second.
Okay. A motion and a second to dismiss case 2333. Is there any further questions, comments? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Next one.
So in 2337, so this is the doctor that actually saw the dog. And really in going through it, I didn't have a lot of questions about the medical care that was provided. The dog was definitely had a lot of pre-existing conditions, had a lot of things going on, but I felt like the doctor did what she should have done. She recommended quite a few things that were declined by the owner, and did some stuff that the owner requested that didn't necessarily make sense. So, I mean, overall, I felt like her care was exactly where it should have been, and didn't actually have an issue with this case at all. So I would also make a motion in 2337 that we find or support the investigative committee's findings of no violations or rules.
Second.
Okay. A motion and a second to dismiss case 2337 as well. There's no further discussion.
Chair, I have one quick comment. I found some credibility issues with the complainant who claims to have spent close to $500,000 on veterinary bills for this dog.
They're expensive, but
she's with both vets, she's paid hundreds of thousands of dollars.
No.
I
haven't spent that in a lifetime over.
Right. Veterinary care is expensive, but
you're doing plastic surgery for your pet.
This was just basically
It was one of
blame everyone.
Right.
And her primary problem wasn't even with an Arizona man.
Right. Right.
So
but there was a lot that the owner or the complainant had put in there that didn't jive.
Exactly.
It did not
right.
make sense.
Did
I'm not
going to
take that into account when you were talking credibility of this case.
Right.
I mean,
right.
So,
yeah.
Agreed.
Agreed.
So, okay. In other words,
there was
a mention, yes, the F word, frivolous, and no merit.
Yeah.
No
oh,
merit.
Yeah.
Describe it.
Okay. Okay. All those in favor of dismissing, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Down to number 7, 2535, in regards to Angela Papion, DVM. Tracy, the summary.
Yes, case 2335. The complainant is Kathleen Gamble. The respondent is Angela Papion, DVM. On September 13th, 2022, Lexi, a 2-year-old female Old English Bulldog, was presented to respondent due to dysphagia. The dog passed one live pup that morning. No other pups were produced. Therefore, complainant presented the dog to the emergency facility that evening. Respondent assessed the dog and started IV fluids. Respondent discussed her concerns with complainant for possible fetus stuck in the birth canal or proper diagnostics. Complainant only approved a fetal vitality check via ultrasound. Ultrasound confirmed some live and some deceased fetuses were present, as well as possibly scant free fluid in the abdomen. Respondent offered complainant options for care and treatment of the dog. During this time, the dog passed a deceased fetus. Therefore, respondent took an abdominal radiograph to ensure that there was not a puppy stuck in the vaginal canal. None was seen. Complainant declined all therapy and elected to take the dog home against medical advice, stating she would take the dog to her primary care veterinarian the next morning. On the way home and after arriving home, the dog gave birth to multiple live and deceased pups. The following day, the dog was taken to the primary care veterinarian for follow-up evaluation of the dog and her 8 live pups. Respondent staff reported complainant to animal control for leaving the premises against medical advice. And the committee concluded that no violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. We have no complaint and no respondent. And Dr. Thompson, you are the lead.
Yeah, in reviewing this case, I think, you know, there sounds like there was some communication issues as far as the expectations of going forward. And the doctor did do the ultrasound to get an idea of whether or not the pups were still alive. She said she couldn't get an adequate count, which is difficult to do, and that's fair. The owners declined subsequent treatment, whether it was x-rays to get a good count, whether it was just medical management or a C-section. They declined the treatment. And they went home, and the dog proceeded to have pups, a couple stillborns. But I think the biggest complaint from the complainant was the fact that they were reported to the animal control for lack of medical care. And I understand their frustrations. I would hate to have that happen to me as well, but we also have an obligation as medical professionals to report if we think that there is some sort of cruelty going on. And also, it wasn't the doctor that reported it, it was another staff member. So I'm not sure that the complaint against the doctor is warranted, unless the doctor is the premise holder. So
she also said, I wouldn't have done it.
So I don't find, you know, I think that was the big part of their complaint, was that they were turned in essentially, and that
because it was wrong. It was wrong to make it without a phone call or something else, because there was no cruelty. There was no suspicion of any kind of cruelty.
Yeah,
there was medical advice. Just because you signed a form that says we may call animal control.
Yeah.
Well, maybe before you call animal control, you call her up and say, did you go to your veterinarian like you said you were going to?
Well, that and they actually called to complain before the client had even left
before
the building. So those two things, the client was still in the premises when it happened. So
I have a really hard time reporting somebody that is coming into your clinic.
Yeah,
that's my thing, they came for medical care.
Right.
Right.
But I'm concerned that that staff member ought to be fine.
And it wasn't the veterinarian.
Right, it wasn't the veterinarian.
So how is that even like
the veterinarian's right? How do you lodge? And maybe it's just not understanding the whole process, right?
Sure.
Like the client is upset, the complainant is upset, and I would be too if I got a little summons on my door. Absolutely. So I agree with the investigative committee. I don't see a violation in this case. So I would offer up a motion to dismiss with no violations.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second to dismiss case 2335. Any further discussion?
There was on the tail end of that a recommendation by discussion by the investigative committee on whether or not to open a case against the doctor who looked at the pups the subsequent day. So the complainant did take the puppies after they were born to her regular veterinarian, who then examined and performed cropping on these pups. The medical records show that he examined the mom but the medical record says 8 puppies appear healthy. That was the end of the medical record. There was no details of any procedures that he did on the pups, how that was done, whether he did TPRs, anything. So the IC could not come up with a resolution, whether or not they wanted to put that towards the board, but just maybe it's something for us to discuss.
They can't open the case. So.
Right, but they even amongst themselves, there wasn't agreement that whether it should be.
Oh, yeah.
Right. We're not going to agree either if anybody wants to.
Mr. Chair?
No.
So I'm just throwing it out there.
Do you feel like we should open a case?
I am not going to die on a sword. I could actually go
neonates
either way.
Neonates are hard though.
What's like, that?
Neonates are tough.
They really are. And like, you know,
we're the bitch ends and then
yeah. Right. And so like you without knowing how the exam was presented, right? Are we doing a physical exam on mom and then just kind of doing a glance over the pups while they're here, or were we charged for a service on those puppies? But then we would say if we did any sort of dew claws or deep or docking of tails, then we did a service on the puppies, and therefore there should be some sort of documentation that we did something. Like, so that's where I'm kind of on the fence. I mean, if I go with herd medicine, I'm like, it's the whole herd. They got. I don't know if there was an actual, if we got an invoice.
I don't recall. It was like our previous case. They look fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they look fine. That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a motion and a second to dismiss case 2335.
The only thing I saw in it, and I'd like just as a matter of discussion, because it was so unusual and interesting, through this whole thing they're trying to help, and the respondent decided to take a radiograph. The owner didn't approve it or anything, but she said, I'm going to do it anyway, which I've done that.
Yeah.
I've done it a lot. But then she told the owner she did it and refused to tell her the number of fetuses she found.
Because she didn't pay?
Because she didn't pay for it. So that's certainly not best practice. But
no.
That'll definitely piss somebody off.
What's that? And that'll definitely.
Yeah. And you could have slated it better. You could have said, well, I took an x-ray just of the vaginal canal to make sure that there wasn't anything stuck, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Except then you're saying something you didn't do.
Yeah. On the x-ray, the vaginal canal was clear.
Yeah.
Right?
There
you don't
go.
Have a head count. So, all right. So we'll just
okay.
The motion to dismiss the case against the case number 2335.
Yeah. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Now down to number 8, 2336, regards to Marque Nyquist, DBM. Tracy, the summary, please.
Sure. Case 2336, the complainant is Brady McLaren. The respondent is Marque Nyquist, DBM. On June 10th, 2022, Zeus, a 12-year-old male husky, was presented to Palo Verde Animal Hospital due to a sore on the upper lip. A biopsy of the mass was taken. Histopathology revealed reactive fibrous hyperplasia. The dog was referred to a dental specialist as the trauma on the lip could be a result of the dog's dental abnormalities. On July 29, 2022, the dog was presented to respondent for evaluation. After evaluation, respondent made recommendations to correct some of the dental abnormalities that were causing the lip to be entrapped and cause a lesion. On August 12, 2022, the dog was presented to respondent's associate to correct the dog's teeth that were causing issues. Complainant only approved part of the respondent's recommendation. On September 2nd, 2022, the dog was rechecked by respondent's associate as complainant suspected the lesion was still bleeding because of the brown staining on the dog's front legs. Complainant was advised that the staining was not from bleeding, but rather the dog's saliva. And complainant stated that his main concern was the staining on the dog's forelimbs, and respondent gave him the impression that her recommendations would resolve the staining. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. We have no complaint. We have Dave Stoll here. Are you monitoring?
Monitoring and napping.
Not a wow.
Jealous. Okay, and Dr. Nosley, you are the lead.
Okay. This was an interesting one. I think there was a total disconnect between what both the primary care and the specialist veterinarians were zeroing in on and what the complainant thought the problem was. So everything proceeded like it should. They actually ended up correcting the problem, and the complainant in the narrative or the testimony admitted, yeah, it stopped. It helped, but was mad because no one addressed the staining, which he thought was due to the mouth, and didn't till later on understand about salivary staining. So it was really just the respondent in this case was doing exactly what she should have done to correct the problem, and she did correct the problem. So total appropriate care given. I don't have any merit to the complaint not understanding about salivary staining, so I'm ready for a motion, or if anybody has any more discussion. I would dismiss with no violation.
Second. Got a trio.
Three-way tie.
Okay. So the only comment I would, communication, yeah, you hit it on the head on both sides. Because how do the doctor, you're doing an exam, you document an exam, but every dog doesn't have staining. So wouldn't you say something? Oh, you know, a little staining there. You know it's from the salivary glands,
yeah,
don't you?
We don't even, yeah, you're
and
right.
And he didn't ask that, hey, can you please fix this so he'll stop getting these stains on his legs? Yeah. Yeah. Both of them. Yeah. It's like, how did this not come up and you not talk about it?
I hear you about the mouth. I understand. I'm going to have you fix it. But what about this other problem? I'm really concerned about it. And he didn't do that.
Yeah.
He just said, that's why I brought it in. Well, we have a specialist who's working on the mouth to correct a problem. So I found it very interesting that there was a complaint at all.
If people just listened better.
Number three on your list. Number four.
So we have a motion and 3 seconds to dismiss case 2336. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, motion passes. 2338 regards.
But you meant we had to do it very quickly. We had 3 seconds.
3 seconds.
You're talking to me.
Regards to Emma Holton, DVM. Tracy, if you'd read the front room.
So case 2338, the complainant is Maribel Ratliff, the respondent is Emma Holden, DVM. On September 28, 2022, Minnie, a 14-year-old female Yorkshire Terrier, was presented to respondent's associate for collapse and weakness. The dog was hospitalized for diagnostics and treatment. The following morning, respondent took over the care of the dog. She called the complainant to discuss the dog's condition. The dog was much improved, and she was waiting on blood results to ensure the azotemia had resolved and hydration had improved. Respondent further discussed repeating a full chemistry panel to monitor bilirubin levels and liver values in a few days to ensure improvement. She also felt an abdominal ultrasound and echocardiogram could be performed on an outpatient basis through the primary care veterinarian. The dog remained stable in the hospital for the rest of the day for continued treatment and monitoring. That afternoon, complainant picked up the dog. Respondent discharged the dog and advised complainant that the blood work showed resolution of the azotemia and improved hydration status. Respondent recommended a recheck in 2 to 4 days, either by her or complainant's primary care veterinarian. Complainant stated that she approved blood work to check the dog's liver and pancreas well and was under the impression that was why the dog remained hospitalized for the day. She stated she would not have agreed to keep the dog there due to cost if she knew the expected blood work was not going to be performed. Complainant attempted to speak with management and the veterinarian about her concerns, but she never received a call back. And the committee concluded that they made an unusual recommendation, but it was not a violation. They recommended and
seconded, that the board dismiss this issue with no violation and issue a letter of concern with respect to communication and not return complaints. This motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you, Tracy. We have no respondent, no complainant here in this case. And Dr. James, you are the lead.
So this case, it was actually interesting. I didn't actually find anything that I was concerned about from a medical perspective. I think there were certainly some communication issues and the lack of returning the call, but the details of that weren't overly clear to me either. So I don't know if you guys saw that, but it was like they were the complainant had apparently called and was waiting for a response and never got one. But I don't show that the doctor even knew this was happening. Like, I don't know that. So in my review medically, I think it was all done appropriately. And so I would support the investigative committee's findings of no violations.
Yeah, I would second that. I just throw in, I think sometimes communication on the emergency side of things, because I don't think, like, if a dog came into a general practice and like, oh, we still need to run that blood work, there's not a clock that's ticking that's accruing additional fees. Where like when you go into an emergency hospital, it's kind of, it's chunked based on like the duration of time that you're there. And so I think maybe making sure that those types of communications are put in place.
Actually, I think the communication led to the complaint in a way, because the respondent was going over all this and the complainant heard there's going to be more blood work, but she didn't understand. So I think the communication on the part of the respondent was actually pretty good, maybe so detailed that the complainant got lost in the flow and thought there was going to be more blood work, which there wasn't. And then, because it was discussed, you could do more blood work, but somehow the complainant thought there was blood work going to be done. So I think it was just a misunderstanding regarding that that led to this whole thing.
We have a motion and a second to dismiss. Is there any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Case 2338 is dismissed. 2339 regards to Candace Emerson, DBM. Tracy, the summary.
So case 2339, the complainants Annette and Sanjay Ramphali. The respondent is Candace Emerson, DBM. On September 28th, 2022, Enzo, a six-month-old male was presented to the respondent for vomiting for 3 days, not eating, and having diarrhea. Diagnostics were performed and a foreign body obstruction was suspected. Surgery was recommended and approved. Surgery was performed, no foreign body obstruction was found. The dog was recovered and treatment for ileus was started. Respondent took the dog home for overnight monitoring. The following day, the dog was monitored, provided supportive care, and radiographs were repeated at no charge. The dog improved and was discharged later that day. A few days later, complainants reported the dog was doing well. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Okay, thank you. We have no respondent, no complainant in this case, and Dr. Thompson, you are the lead.
Yeah, so on this case, I'm not quite sure why there was a complaint that was even lodged, except for the fact that we paid for a benign,
a negative explore,
right? And I mean, yes, that's always in some ways frustrating because you're looking for a problem, but at the same time, it's a good thing, right? So, you know, the doctor approached this case well. She looked for infectious disease, a six-month-old dog, you know, looked for parvo, looked for pancreatitis, did the x-rays, did, you know, with the history of a soft object being shredded and consumed potentially by the dog. The barium series was like, ugh. You know, the barium didn't move out of the stomach. It was 3 hours, and you would expect it to be like down by the colon in that period of time. So, I mean, all the things were there to say, hey, we should really look at this dog and cut it. and that's what she did. And then to even take the dog home on her own to provide supportive care because the owners couldn't afford emergency care, like, this doctor went above and beyond
Yes.
to care for this animal and then resulted in a complaint. So I definitely go with the, I see recommendation of no violation, dismiss with no violation.
Second.
You've had other cases where it went the other way and
right.
that was
waited too long. Right. Right. Maybe it'll pass.
Yeah, maybe it'll pass.
And then they go septic.
And you can also say that something did happen because of the surgery.
Right.
Because emptying the stomach contents restored the blood flow into the intestinal tract. So,
they just needed some internal massage.
Something did happen.
Let the evil spirits out.
Well, we don't know what.
Therapeutic area. It's wonderful.
We don't know what, but we know it did some good.
Right.
So it wasn't a waste of time. It wasn't just exploratory and we didn't find anything. We.
I bet veterinarians tell me if you don't have any negative explorers, you're not
doing enough.
You're not looking at them.
You know, and that's where you see the ones that go septic because you didn't go in and they pass because they ruptured.
Underutilized tool.
It's been called the ultimate diagnostic test.
You don't have to go have an X-ray, you can see it for yourself.
Holding your hands, right? Mm-hmm.
So it's unfortunate. I feel really bad for this doctor.
I think as well. Yes. Because again, she not only did she do everything like boom, 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 she went way above and beyond, and that was her reward. And
no good deed will go unpunished.
And right. And the investigative committee specifically noted that that the respondent went way above and beyond.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to dismiss. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. 2381, regards to Caitlin Johnson, DVM. Summary.
Case 2381, complainant is Monica Zurcher. The respondent is Caitlin Johnson, DVM. On January 3rd, 2023, Cherokee, an 11-year-old male, as well as Shepherd, and Navajo, a 13-year-old male, named Cat, was presented to the respondent for a health certificate to preserve. An estimate was provided and approved by complainant. Due to deficiencies, the health certificates had been resubmitted twice. On January 9th, 2023, documents were ready and complainant picked up the paperwork for her flight the following day. On January 14th, 2023, the complainant expressed her dissatisfaction with the fees in comparison to similar services provided 3 years prior. On February 3rd, 2023, the responsible veterinarian for the premises, Dr. Hummel, offered reimbursement for a portion of the fees which the complainant declined. And this did not go in front of the investigative committee, it was brought straight to you because it seems to be a fee dispute. And so, brought to you strictly for your review and consideration.
Thank you, Tracy. We do not have the complainant here. We do have Mr. Stoll
monitoring.
Okay, you get this one, Mr. Loheed.
All right. Well, they got the estimate, so they knew exactly what it was going to cost before they paid. And they paid it. Now they want to cry about it. The one mistake that was found was the postage was charged twice, and he was going to pay her back the whole postage, not just the half that was overcharged. So, and she refused it because she wants more, because she wants to determine how much profit he can make versus 3 years ago.
Exactly.
So, no.
If you've ever done international health certificates,
I have not. I looked
for years, and it's horrible. Yeah. It's awful. I had to be up at like 2 a.m. to talk to somebody in another country to make sure that everything was correct. I mean, it's a nightmare. AVMA PLIT put out a newsletter about it and the risks that veterinarians take doing these because if they get denied at the country, you know, import, then what happens, you know? So
I was amazed at how short the time frame is. I mean, I realized with diseases and whatnot, you need that window where they need to be examined and get on the damn plane, right? But the amount of time that you and there was one thing that had to come in the mail.
Yep, you have because we lost our APHIS office, so it has to be at FedEx there, endorsed, and FedEx back, and your window is so short for flying and
because APHIS for here is in Albuquerque.
Right? Yeah, they moved it because we used to have one.
So I mean, it's been gone.
We used to drive them down.
20 years now.
But, I mean, it's unbelievable that. the short amount of time. And like I said, I can imagine, I don't know how you would do it. I don't think you could charge enough.
It's, no, you can't. That's the thing. The amount that's charged, you're not gonna recoup your expenses.
And if it's too expensive, then board them, you know?
Well, there's companies that do this now.
Switzerland, and she's not able to afford, I mean, I don't know why she was moving to Switzerland, but.
Almost let the cat be seized.
Right. Yeah, I know, right? She's like, I don't really need it for the cat. I'll just smuggle him in.
No, there's companies that do it. There is companies that do this now. And if you see the fees, whoo, that's nothing. That in place.
Like you're staying.
Veterinarian, they set their own fees.
Right.
And we give them an estimate.
We made fun of this complaint enough. I move that we dismiss 2381.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, 2394 in regards to Michelle Johnson DVM, and it's a two-pack along with J.C. Long DVM.
And these are all just straightforward cases. So case 2394, the complainant is the board and the respondent is Michelle Johnson DVM. Case 2395, the complainant is the board and the respondent is J.C. Long DVM. On February 15th, 2023, after reviewing information received anonymously, the board voted to open investigation with respect to respondent's conduct. Allegations included respondent allowed technical staff to extract teeth and perform other oral surgery during dental procedures. In case 2394, the respondent was the responsible veterinarian for the premises until February 22nd of 2023.
Thank you. Let's see. We have Mr. Stoll monitoring on both of them.
Correct.
Okay. We have no complainants, and Dr. Thompson, you are the lead.
Yeah, so with this case, essentially there was complaints that the doctors were allowing technicians to extract teeth. In further discussion or communications, it sounds like they weren't necessarily doing like gingival flaps and drilling and extraction teeth that way. They were focusing on the loose ones, but they were still doing that and then also suturing the gum. Yes. And my understanding, and I will be corrected if wrong, is that suturing still falls under surgery, right? And just verification. So then if it falls under surgery, then that's something that a certified veterinary technician is not allowed to do, let alone a vet assistant. So, I mean, our rules state that that's not something that they should be allowed to do. In the 2394, she states that once she learned that, then they have since discontinued doing that. So I'm not sure if we just have like a letter of concern, just making sure that that does not resume in that practice.
My concern with this one, actually both of these, is that the complaints stated that technicians had said multiple times, we're not allowed to do this, and some technicians didn't even want to do it, and yet the doctors are claiming that they had no idea that this was against the rules.
Well, yeah, I think the hard part too,
like, something's not right here. Yeah,
but also, the complaints were coming from somebody who said that they didn't make the complaints.
Right. Yeah, that was even
if you're not going to use, like, if that is the person who did actually complain, or maybe one of the technicians logged on to her email, like then what part can you believe and what can't you, right? So we have either somebody who's not being truthful about sending the emails, so therefore is the information truthful that's in the email, or somebody is inappropriately using that person's email, so therefore is the information in that email true. Like, so, I mean,
yes. The veterinarian say it's true.
Well, yeah.
They did.
To what extent, yeah, right? Right? So I think that's just my, and on as far as the 2395, I guess one of the things that bothered me was, well, everybody else was doing it, so it was okay. Like that kind of, there was no, accountability. Like the one said, I didn't know that that was a thing. The other one's like, well, everybody else was doing it, so I was just going along with it. So
it's interesting because she was new yes, out of school.
Yes.
There are so few states that allow RVTs, LVTs, CVTs to do
yes
dental procedures, oral surgery, right?
Yeah.
And then even the VTS in dentistry, if you're a VTS in dentistry, doesn't matter what state you're in, you can't do it at all. Can't touch it within like a 10-foot pole. So you're telling me the veterinarian out of school,
right,
that was taught in school, didn't know that? Because that's one of the things that vet students are like, I hate this, I got very little training, and now I have to do it, and nobody can help me. So I'm like, that was the thing that I had a hard time believing. Like, yes, they know now, and we don't have a specific patient that, you know, was like, we have like, oh, this patient was messed up because of it, whatever. But some of the, it didn't ring true, like, at all. It just seemed like, once they got caught.
This is a, we got caught.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they knew they shouldn't be doing that. The one doctor said.
But the fact that they lie about it
bothers me. Right. You know, one doctor said, I don't want to do it, so I'm going to have my techs do it.
They don't want to do it.
I don't want to do it. So.
Well, and then on 2395, she's like, well, I taught my technician to Sumatra, but I don't let them do it.
Another example.
Right. So, and that was the new grad, like,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a violation.
Okay. So I guess which, was it the, what would be your recommendation?
Acceptable medical procedures and allowing technicians to perform something they can't perform.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I was trying to
four
find.
Four things. There's only four things can't do.
Right.
So that's one of them.
And that's one of them.
Yeah, that's one of them.
You can't. I mean, I've tried it. Oh, I'm sorry, officer, I didn't see the sign that said I could only do 75. It doesn't work.
Did it work?
Right?
Right.
That doesn't work. Or the other foot, how can you pull me over? There was people passing me.
It's like fishing.
Well,
right.
It's like fishing. Do you catch all the fish? No. Sometimes you don't catch any, sometimes you catch one. Sometimes
so
I get caught.
Would it be 12? And then referring to the rule?
Yep.
Of acceptable medical procedures.
So it's R3115011.
There we go. Because our only other choice is
incompetence.
R3115011.
Gross
negligence.
Gross negligence?
No, that would be our only other choice.
Oh, that escalated quickly.
No. Yeah, he was citing off the only option.
I was saying the only other option.
Okay, yeah, because I wasn't sure it was like violation of Article 332.22.31, which gives what you're allowed to do, prescribed or administers any drug, medicine, treatment, method, or practice, performs an operation or medical or manipulation. That was like the what falls under a veterinarian, and that person is not a veterinarian. So I wasn't sure which one it would go under, but I'm fine with the R311511.
So it would be correct, it would be 3222, number 12, as it relates to R311, 5011, if you were going that route, professionally acceptable procedures.
Okay. So make a motion to find in violation ARS
3222-31-12.
ARS.
Eight.
No.
R311.
She got it.
R311-5011.
You got it.
And so that's for 94, and that's failure to provide professionally acceptable procedures for allowing technical staff to extract teeth and suture.
And suture, yeah.
Yes.
And I think on this one too, just adding in verbiage that the responsible vet needs to be familiar with our practice act and rules.
I mean, they all do, but a responsible vet, you're making sure other things outside of even just your own practice are good. And so the fact that they claim not to be aware, and yet they've been the responsible vet.
Well, the one just retired.
Yeah, she just got off that. He or she. Okay, so that was for
1394. Yeah.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second to file violation for 2394. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
So is this offering a consent agreement?
I think so.
Yeah.
Consent agreement to.
Are there?
Not allow this to happen anymore.
Are there any priors on 94?
Good question.
Is it a consent?
Sorry, never mind.
Hey, Mom.
No. So, no prior, so no fine, just CT for.
CE for acceptable practices, I don't know, like.
Well.
But didn't we have one where we asked them to look at the practice act?
Yes.
And report to us?
Yes, yes.
I kind of feel like that's, this is the same.
That's kind of where we're at with this.
For the responsible vet, yeah.
I don't know, ethics, maybe dentistry, so they feel comfortable doing it themselves, I mean, we could pick something else. I don't know, they're rewriting the.
Well, I think they feel comfortable, they're comfortable enough to teach it.
It's like writing your name on the.
They just don't want to do it.
They don't want to do it.
I don't know.
Teaching is different than doing, what is it, those who can't do, teach?
If you can go.
Yes, Mr. Stoll.
Find it, which?
Possibly a decree of censure, that's in your arsenal as well.
He would say that.
Oh, I'm. I think that could be a good option. Have we, we don't use it often, but we did one not too long ago.
It's just, do you think that they would benefit from, you know, some sort of appropriate continuing education? Or do you just want to memorialize that what they did was a violation of your practice act?
Well, I just don't, I think, me personally, I think they know what they would, what they were doing was wrong. So I don't know that CE is going to help them, because I think they already knew that, based on what was submitted.
How about a small fine?
I don't really do fines unless there's history typically, right?
Yeah.
$1,000 per tooth?
Or, yeah, I mean, I guess unless.
Wow.
How many sutures did they place?
It's the only thing.
$100 per suture.
Per suture.
You could have them attend three consecutive board meetings.
Ooh.
And they have to stay, and they have to stay 30 minutes after Mr. Stoll leaves.
I bet that would be it.
They have to hear the call to the public.
Yeah.
They can't leave till the call.
Might not be a bad idea, I think more veterinarians should do it.
That's cruel and unusual.
Agreed. Do what?
More veterinarians should attend a board meeting.
Just don't have it be one of them that's like 2 hours, because that gets them off.
Do those happen?
Yeah. You missed that one time.
That one time that we didn't get past our half-day mark, and we were like, what?
Only during COVID, yeah.
So, like, what are our thoughts and recommendations?
I mean, you could.
You have to have findings of fact and conclusions.
You don't have to necessarily, I mean, do CE if you don't see anything appropriate. I mean, ethics, I think, is always appropriate, I didn't get a lot of that in school, I guess, I don't know, but.
I mean, I'm good with just memorializing it, I think actually attending a board meeting may be a good thing, especially as we work into the next case of a younger veterinarian in their career. So I think, but for both of them, it'd probably be beneficial.
Would we give them a CE?
I don't really.
Yeah, I don't see that.
Just punish them with that?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no fine, you attend the meeting, you learn from this, and hopefully don't do it again.
Yeah.
Can you guys adopt the findings of fact?
Yes, we need to.
No, we have the.
Findings of fact.
Conclusions of law.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law as we stated, which was 32, number 12, as it relates to RC-11-5011. For professionally acceptable procedures and allowing technicians to pull teeth.
And suture.
And suture.
Suture.
Second. Motion in a second, do we need to do?
We need to roll call.
Then you do disciplinary action, or is?
Well, we just need to the vote on the findings, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
So did you want, what did you want to offer them in a consent agreement?
So the consent agreement would be that they were to attend a board meeting within the next 6 months?
Yes.
For?
A full board meeting. It's not like they can come in and hear one case.
Full board meeting.
Gavel to gavel.
Yes, thank you. Good clarification.
And we could say attend a full board meeting and become familiar with your practice.
With your practice act.
Like, you might want to attend the meeting, but you will attend the meeting, but you might also want to read the practice act every once in a while.
So is that placing them on probation for 6 months in order to obtain?
But they actually show up in any case, can we ask them? What statute does that refer to?
No, we have to look it up.
What if we don't?
We'll have to look it up to make sure it is.
Okay, so 6 month probation and then signed within 30 days or?
30 days.
Second, we need a second.
Okay, don't need anything else in there. So motion and a second. Now should we do roll call? Okay. Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lobey?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Okay, now for 2395.
Yes. For 2395, I would like to duplicate what was just
done for
2394.
Second.
Okay, and motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I think you still got to rule.
You still got to do the, Dr. Byrne?
We have to rule.
Okay.
Aye.
You're going to do that next, this part.
Okay, are we doing the roll call or are we doing, because we started two things at once.
Are we doing the exact same thing from the findings of fact?
Yes.
The law and the consent agreement is the exact same? Can we do all of that in one motion?
Yes.
Okay, so then we have to do roll call.
Yes, okay.
Okay, Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lobey?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Okay.
We agree on some all day, haven't we?
Yes, 100%. All right. We need to take a bathroom break from Ms. Solomon, so.
Thanks for putting her out. Although she was rushing out of here so fast, it's not like we did.